Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dave, you're on WGN. We appreciate you coming on with us. How are you?
Doing great today, and thanks for having me on. Thanks for chatting about immigration.
What is your take on DACA as it was?
Well, DACA as it was, and we've been saying this since 2012, was an illegal, unconstitutional amnesty program that was thought up by President Obama after 22 different times of saying that he couldn't do something like DACA. He then did it because Congress hadn't been able to successfully pass an amnesty bill. President Trump promised to rescind DACA based on the fact that it was illegal promised again and again during the campaign to rescind it, and he has finally done that. The other side of that, though, is that he also promised the DACA recipients that he would try to approach the topic with heart. The argument being that really only Congress can write laws. This was an example of a president, Obama at that time, trying to write a law. Only Congress, only the legislative branch can write laws and change immigration law. So what he did yesterday was announce there was going to be a wind-down period for DACA, so that DACA recipients and employers who have DACA employees will have about 2 years to wind out of the program, and then the DACA recipients, unless Congress comes up with a fix, which is really the only legal way this can be addressed, then the DACA recipients will be returning home. Another thing that you missed in your story that's important is that a similar idea by the Obama administration was called DAPA, D-A-P-A, and that was a program that would have allowed illegal alien parents who have legal children in the United States to have an amnesty. That would have protected about 4 million of them from deportation. That was challenged by 10 states and thrown out by the courts as unconstitutional. And the thought was is that if that was found unconstitutional, DACA, which was based on the very same principle,
right,
would have been found unconstitutional as well. And when the courts throw it out, there's no two-year warning. It would have ended today. So what Trump did was all that he could within his authority to unwind this program in an orderly fashion.
But he didn't have to do anything, right?
On September 5th, if he didn't do anything, the states were going to file suit.
Right.
And he had promised, actually, no.
No, and I also have this question for you.
Campaign promise.
I understand that. It was a campaign promise of his that he was going to rescind what he described as two amnesty orders by President Obama then.
Right.
But I just wanted to ask you about the illegality of the president's action, President Obama's action. How is it determined that it is in fact illegal? If Jeff Sessions says that's an unconstitutional act, that doesn't make it an unconstitutional act. That is his informed and important opinion.
Right.
But how is it that we're able to actually claim that what Barack Obama did is illegal or unconstitutional?
Based on the conclusion of DAPA, D-A-P-A, that was a very similar act that would have gone to illegal alien parents.
No, I understand that.
That was struck down by two federal courts, and then it went to the Supreme Court, and it was a 4-4 ruling.
You know where I'm going with this, right, though, Dave? I mean, as a matter of fact, there is no illegal ruling on DACA.
That was Jeff Sessions' professional opinion.
Understood.
That it was illegal, and it would have been. And they acted because they felt, and I do believe this, that they felt that this was going to be thrown out very quickly by the courts.
But a court has not done that. A court would have had to do that, and I'm just trying to get the facts right on this. A court has not deemed it illegal or unconstitutional, DACA.
Not yet. It hasn't even been challenged in the courts, but it was going to be challenged yesterday by Texas and 9 other states.
What would or should a good accommodation for these people look like from Congress? Because I don't mind them revisiting it. I just want to get it right. What should that look like in your estimation?
Well, it's a very difficult issue, and it's hard to explain it fully in 15 minutes. But what would be an equitable solution? President Trump has laid out some very clear ideas that he would like to see in terms of immigration reform. He's talked about reforming our legal immigration system to a merit-based system. He's talked about building the wall. He's talked about targeting sanctuary cities. He's talked about adopting E-Verify, which is a national web-based system to ensure that you're not hiring illegal immigrants. These are the things that he wants in immigration reform. He's pushed all of these out in the last 6 months, and some of them have been voted on by the House of Representatives. The Democrats want DACA. They said they wanted DACA. They've been raising money off of DACA. They had DACA people marched out on the platform at the Democratic National Convention.
What does the bill look like to you? What is the accommodation for these 800,000 people?
The accommodation would be President Trump's enforcement package that he's laid out and his legal immigration bill accompanied by some form of DACA.
But what is that? I mean, okay, so maybe we give you the wall funding if you give us this, but what is this? What do you think? Because I'm suggesting to you that maybe it will look like what we have right now. If not, tell me what that side of the equation looks like.
I would say that a compromise package would look something like the enforcement things that I've detailed to you, the illegal immigration things that I've detailed to you, and then there would be a legalization program for the 690,000 people who now remain in DACA. That is what the president is looking to come back from with the Democrats. The Democrats have already said, we are not coming to the table over DACA. We are not going to bargain.
I understand that, but you know what I want from you, and I don't know that anybody has the answer, including the president. So whatever the deal is that we make,
I don't know what's going to be offered.
But is it possible, do you, Dave? I mean, you study this, and I don't. Would it be possible and maybe even okay to conservatives if that side of the equation looked like what we have now?
I think it would be okay to conservatives if there was sufficient border enforcement. See, when DACA was passed in 2012, that's what triggered the huge influx from Central America of the unaccompanied minors, Central American families. They heard word that there was an amnesty going out for teenagers, and we ended up with tens and tens and tens of thousands of them coming over the border. What conservatives want to make sure is that talking of an amnesty doesn't create another surge. And Speaker Ryan today said, you know, how do you come up with a solution for DACA and make this the last time we ever have to find ourselves in this situation? So the way you would do that would be to fund the wall, to fund the various enforcement programs laid out by President Trump.
Yeah.
Have those, you know, the DACA people are here. They're in autopilot. You could, you know, their DACA status could easily be extended. If it gets challenged by states, then the states would be a different issue. But you know, in the end, you would have a immigration enforcement package that would have all the Trump enforcement ideas, the wall funded, and some sort of permanent status for the DACA recipients. Why it's so difficult for conservatives are two different issues here. One is that, is it right to allow someone to profit from the lawbreaking of their parents? In most instances, we would say no. If you were talking about two parents who embezzled money and say put it in their college fund for their kids.
I'm running short of time. I get that point. No, I see that. What's the other point?
Think about the kid who grew up in Illinois and who wanted to go to the University of Illinois, and he lost his seat to the DACA student. Here you have somebody who's been in the state, their family's been working in Illinois for 200 years. You know, there are two sides of the fairness issue. There are people who've lost entry to colleges because of DACA students who are illegal immigrants, and there are people who've lost jobs to DACAs who are illegal immigrants. And in either of those cases, in both cases, Americans are the victims, people who've done nothing wrong. So it's a very tricky issue. But this is a population. The Democrats want an answer. The Republicans want an answer.
I think
maybe
we all do.
It's going to be the thing that will bring people together.
I sure hope so on that. Dave Ray, Communications Director for FAIR. What's the website if people want to find out more about your position on this?
Yeah, we're at fairus.org. That's F-A-I-R-U-S.org. Don't ask Luis Gutierrez about us. We don't ever come on the same side of the issue.
No.
On Twitter, check us out at hashtag Fair Immigration.
I'm going to call you again, Dave Ray. I appreciate your time this
afternoon. Please
do. Yeah, he's studied this. Even if you don't agree, that's the other side of the coin. We wanted to hear them both.